upper left, 7, I think. Just a little wider, please. Just, now, this is the one that's been given the trouble, is it?
Ah.
So when did this start being painful?
Ah.
Yes, I see. Well, now, I'm going to try and save it for you. Let's put a little filling in there and hope that that'll do the trick, shall we? Oh, incidentally, my receptionist isn't here, so you'll be paying the fee directly to me. Is that all right?
Ah.
Now, I'm just going to give you a little injection. That'll numb the area. Open very wide. I'm sorry, you must stay in the chair for the injection. Excuse me, I must insist that you remain seated. Now, look. Good God! No!
In the Chair by Mark Taverner, starring Michael Williams, Barry Foster, and Hugh Laurie.
I'm always late for cabinet meetings.
Yeah, it's all right, Minister. I don't think they've started yet.
Hello, Minister. I'm so sorry.
Not at all. Right, are we ready?
Things can only get better.
Hallelujah.
Can only get better.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Prime Minister, the National Health Service will tell you. This morning's lesson is written in the Gospel according to St. Elton. And he saith unto them, Giveth me not of thine aggravation, brethren, but getteth thee and little action in. For Saturday night beeth the night I liketh.
Amen.
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 The People's Cabinet is now in session. Russell, you wanted to raise something.
Prime Minister.
Kenny. Call me Kenny.
Kenny. The increase in dental charges cannot be put off any longer. I realise it'll be unpopular. It's a tough decision, a difficult decision.
Tough, difficult, and unpopular. Harriet, I don't suppose you'd feel like making this announcement, do you?
Me? Attention all news outlets. Government announcement on health charges expected this afternoon. Statement at 3:30.
Close the door, Frank.
Yeah.
Health charges, eh? Have a scotch.
Well, you're glad to be retiring.
Everybody else is pleased. Personnel Directorate is sending around a memo. It's George Craig's last day at the BBC. Free champagne for everybody in a week's holiday.
Ah, go on, they'll never find another crime reporter like you.
That's true.
So, what are you going to do with yourself?
Oh, I don't know. If you're finished, you're finished. Leave it alone. Other times, I think I'll be in that tunnel in my sleep.
George, they've sent me up from the council chamber. Everyone's downstairs waiting to say goodbye to you.
Oh, all right, but you're coming. Have you met? John Chalmers, editor of Radio News, fearless Frank Jefferson, Scotland Yard.
Pleased to meet you.
Attention all news outlets. Statement from Downing Street. The Prime Minister's cats, Clapton and Hendricks, have disappeared.
The Prime Minister's cats?
Well, I would offer you a scotch, but...
Yeah, well, never mind offering me a scotch. Are you coming to your own retirement party?
All right, yeah. You know, I bet that old bugger, the Director of Personnel, is downstairs at this moment saying,
Dear old George, we may have had our differences.
Well, Personnel did make 27 different attempts to sack him, Alan. Most of them instigated by you.
Well, you were his editor for, how long?
About 300 years.
It must have been a nightmare.
Oh, I don't know. George was always a damn good reporter.
His retirement has come at a very opportune moment, given your future ambitions. The last thing you'll need is George Cragg querying the pitch. Is the crime correspondent actually going to show up for his own retirement party?
Apart from his government statement, what else have we got?
Jeremy Bymer's going to do us a piece of South Africa.
Yep.
But now he is a
joke.
The PM is attending a rock concert tonight. He may go on stage and play his guitar.
Well, I'll take 20 seconds of it, I suppose.
Yes, unfortunately, it doesn't start till 2 hours after the 6 o'clock news is finished.
For pity's sake. Yeah, also, the Liberal Democrats have issued a statement on the merits of the regional list system of proportional representation.
Does that strike you as interesting?
No. And we're still waiting for this announcement on dental charges. At this rate, it'll be BBC News at 6 o'clock, followed by 20 minutes of meows. Somewhere in the world, something must have happened.
Yep.
George, come on, mate. It's time we were getting downstairs.
Yeah, all right, Frank. We've cracked some cases in our time, haven't we?
And not all of them full of whiskey. Oh, God. What is it now? Jefferson. What? Where? I'll be right there. Press hasn't got hold of this, have they? No. Right, well, don't touch anything. I'm on my way.
What is it, Hank?
Nothing that need concern you. You just get to your part.
Oh, I'm not facing that lot if you're not coming.
Nothing I can't handle on me own. Now, for God's sake, get to your retirement party, collect your leaving present, and go home. There is absolutely no need for you to come, George. This is nothing important.
Oh, like hell it is.
George, yes. George, will you please come downstairs?
John, we've just had a fax from Bridget Kendall in Washington.
Yes, thank God for that.
It says, nothing has happened in America. Love, Bridget.
Those girls. George, the council chamber's now... George!
Stop it!
Caroline, I really do have other engagements, you know.
The drink's running out, Caroline.
Why is the phone getting at me? I'm not George's line manager anymore. John, you are.
Caroline, I'm really sorry, but I've got to go. I'm late for Prime Minister's question time. Tell George I put in good money for a silver Guinness tankard. I hope he likes it.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for coming.
Face it, Caroline. We're well rid of him, especially in these sensitive times.
The soccer boys are on their way, Gav.
George, put that down.
It's more fun than a retirement party, anyway.
Not for him, it isn't.
The cause of death seems to be shooting, Gav.
Well spotted, son. Ever thought of a career in CID?
You know, it's been one of my life's ambitions to have a dentist of my mercy.
George, you're supposed to leave everything alone.
What's this?
A tooth for a tooth.
Gav, that's like the one in Basildon.
Quiet.
Like the one where?
Constable.
Come on, son.
In Basildon, sir.
Now, let me get this straight. You're investigating a murder in Basildon. Was that victim a dentist, too?
Well, he may have been.
Now this note. And there was a note on the one in Basildon, too, wasn't there? What did it say, Frank?
How sharper than a serpent's tooth.
Constable, you know the rule about talking to journalists, do you?
Sorry.
Come on, George.
How many of these murders have there been, Frank?
There was a murder in Plymouth 3 weeks ago.
A dentist?
Yes, yes, all right. And there was a note on that one, too. The tooth is out there.
A serial killer, a loony, and you never even told me about it.
I didn't want to spoil your retirement.
Spoil my retirement? Do you know who that is in there, Frank? That's not just any old dentist, mate. That, what's left of him, is Sir Ewan Carmichael, dental surgeon to the Prime Minister.
Questions for the Prime Minister. Terence Graham.
Number one, Madam Speaker.
This morning I had meetings with ministerial colleagues and others. In addition to my duties in this House, I shall be having further meetings later today.
Terence Graham.
Madam Speaker. Can the Prime Minister confirm reports this morning on BBC Radio that this Labour government is proposing that NHS patients are going to have to pay the full private cost of their dental treatment.
Madam Speaker, my right honourable friend, the Health Secretary, will be making a statement after question.
Answer the question.
Well, look, I can tell the House this. We told the British people at the general election that a Labour government would not shrink from fundamental reform of the welfare state. Dental charges cannot be immune from those reforms.
Will the right honourable gentleman give way?
Jim, the Deputy Prime Minister does not interrupt the Prime Minister.
Will he give way?
Well, now look, Madam Speaker, this is an open government, a democratic government, and I give way to my own deputy.
Madam Speaker, some of us, even in the government, are very, very angry about the so-called dental charges. The Labour, and this is it with regard to this, if you're unemployed, welfare benefits should be, and they always have been, and that is Labour policy, if you look at it from that point of view, and this is not what it's seen from this dispatch box. Now you take teeth, the so-called dental charges. This is not a cabinet agreement, and dental charges are free at the point of delivery. Teeth are in a nutshell, and you have to bite on it.
Yeah.
Let me make this very clear. Fight in the past as I have in the future, and my colleagues know what I'm saying. I will quote Martin Luther because he was not speaking English. He was not speaking English because it was in the 16th century when there was no health service from that point of view. Martin Luther said, "Here I stand, I can do no other." That is what I'm saying on that aspect of it.
Robin Oakley on four with a piece from Westminster. Robin Oakley on four.
Well, at least that's something. Can somebody have a listen to it?
Yeah, fine.
All right, John?
Oh, dear. This is the Finnish news day in 20 years.
Well, you've got the PM and the Deputy PM. It's a good story, isn't it?
At most, that's 8 minutes. I've got half an hour to fill.
Well, you might have something else.
Oh, I have. I've got an alleged sighting of Hendrix, the kitten in Scarborough.
George that's Craig on one with a piece for all news outlets.
What?
George Craig on one.
Oh, no, no, yes. No.
Okay.
We were hoping to dust that phone for prints, actually, sir.
Oh, God. Ever had the feeling you weren't wanted? Come on, newsroom, where are you? Where is that dozy trollop?
He's here, George. Where the hell are you?
Caroline, I've got a murder story
for
you.
No, George.
There's a serial killer slaughtering dentists.
Then a reporter who has not retired will cover the story.
Are you saying you don't want me on the story, Hannah?
No, George, this is your final day at the BBC, and that's final.
Golden days before the end, whisper secrets to the wind. Your heart, he doesn't love you anymore.
Hi, mister.
Marcia, I'm busy.
I'm sorry to interrupt your guitar practice. You wanted to see me.
Marcia, 4 weeks ago, I was the most popular Prime Minister in history.
Yes.
Well, now, all of a sudden, my honeymoon period is over. It must be the sun's set, sir.
It's over. It's over.
Prime Minister.
Kenny.
It is perfectly true that 74% of national newspapers say the honeymoon period is over.
Exactly. And that was before today's fiasco.
The announcement achieved its purpose.
What, of alienating my own party?
Of demonstrating your toughness of mind. 81% of focus group interviewees said they rated toughness of mind as a desirable quality in a party leader.
But I've upset Jim.
But the total privatisation of dental services was in the manifesto. Well, not actually in there, but it was implied.
Prime Minister. Kenny, there's a rumour you're thinking of backtracking on the dental charges announcement. May I point out that this measure represents a saving to me as Chancellor of £2.4 billion over 2 years?
For God's sake, focus group savings of £2.4 billion? Why must we go on like this year after year, mouthing statistics when, for want of vision, the people perish?
Kenny, remember when we were watching the Louise Woodward trial and I said, that's it, compassion with a hard edge?
No backtracking, huh? No shirking.
All right, I hear what you say.
Golden days before they end.
Thank you, Kenny.
Whisper secrets to the wind. Your party doesn't love you anymore.
Marcia, I found Clapton.
I found one of the cats.
And he'll probably make a Secretary of State for Social Security.
Marcia, is it true the former leader of the Liberal Democrats has been made chairman of the BBC?
Lord Crichton Potter, yes.
Well, the man's a complete idiot.
Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Certainly, Chairman.
This digital broadcasting. You push a button and the thing comes on. That's the nub of it.
In a very real sense, Chairman, yes.
Good. Well, I'm glad we've got that settled.
You'll find a detailed briefing amongst the papers in your in-tray.
Yes, well, I'll certainly give that some careful attention, possibly after lunch. Well, here we are. Chairman of the BBC, eh? Damn fine job. It's
a privilege to have you here, Chairman.
Just one thing. What is the job exactly?
You're here as a non-broadcaster to protect the public interest and take a broad overview.
Oh, well, if it's a broad overview you want, I'm your man. Look, I think I'll just slip down to Simpson's and take a broad overview, possibly over the saddle of mutton.
Just before you do that, Chairman, if we might run through one or two things. One of your first duties will be to oversee the appointment of a new Director General. It is, perhaps, the most important decision you will have to make as chairman.
Oh.
George, You've retired as of 5 o'clock this afternoon.
Reports of my retirement have been greatly exaggerated, Caroline.
But your pension arrangements have gone through in triplicate.
My God, you have become a bureaucrat, haven't you?
George, it's been a privilege working with you. It's not going to end with me asking security to escort you off the premises, is it?
I've got a story to report, Caroline.
No, George. Oh,
sorry, Sergeant Caroline. Mr. Cragg, the director of personnel, would like to personal farewell with him at reception.
Mm.
Caroline, if I didn't know you better, I'd say my retirement was something you and the director cooked up, just so I don't get in the way of your future plans.
Goodbye, George.
There wouldn't be any truth in that suspicion, would there?
Goodbye, George.
George?
Yeah.
You're in everybody's way, for God's sake, mate. Go home.
I can help you with the case, Frank.
Come on! Leave the officers to get on with it.
How many times have I helped you with my case?
Scotland Yard has always been very grateful for your assistance.
But there comes a time in a man's life when he has to bugger off. That's him! In 24 hours, George, I'll have wrapped up this murder, the one in Basildon, and the one in Plymouth.
Without me, the hell you will.
This man has a flat in Pimlico. Take him there.
Frank, can I at least look at the murder weapon?
The murder weapon was a gun, and any second now I'm going to use it. Goodbye, George.
In 24 hours, I'll have solved the case. God above.
Was it Pimlico you wanted, Governor?
Just out of interest, how much would it cost to drive me to Plymouth?
Plymouth? About 250 quid.
Ah, what the hell? BBC can afford it.
Mr. Cragg, the murder of my partner was extensively investigated by the police. If there had been anything to find, they'd have found it.
No, sir, I appreciate that. I realize I'm taking...
I do have a surgery full of people.
The reason I'm bothering you is I want to establish if there's any possible connection between Sir Ewan Carmichael and your partner.
I wouldn't have thought so. Well, I suppose there's a connection of sorts, but it's very tenuous.
Go on.
My partner was very involved in Labour policies. He sat on some review body about introducing charges in the health service, and he would have been a Labour candidate in the local elections.
So he was closely connected with New Labour.
Mr. Malcolm, could you possibly telephone a taxi to get me back to London?
See the BBC at pay.
There's a lot of backbench and happiness about this, Jim. A lot of people are looking to you for guidance.
We're new boys, Jim, voting against our own government. It's a big step.
Or if we knew we had the support of a senior member of the government.
Exactly. That's all we do.
Look, I'm the Deputy Prime Minister, and this is it with regard to this.
Yeah, well, we quite see that.
I cannot condone anything which has my full support. I'm not saying that the lads and lasses make a gesture of defiance, but I can't be seen to be advocating what I'm in favour of. That is the situation in parliamentary terms, and it is collective responsibility. I'm not responsible for that.
Right. So what you're saying is... Oh, sorry, I think that's my pager.
No, I think it's mine.
I think it's my pager.
Electronic tagging. Are you members of Parliament or juvenile delinquents?
We are counting on your support tonight, Marcia. It would be.
Think of your career before you do anything silly tonight, Marcia.
Look, Jim, should we vote against the government, yes or no? What's the simple answer?
The simple answer is this. When you go into the lobby tonight, if you do what you have to do, then when all's said and done, you've done it.
And when Marcia sees what we've done, it'll be bye-bye to our chances of a minister's diploma.
But there are thousands and thousands of people who can't afford these charges, Jim. Oh, hell.
Why isn't your pager working, Marcia?
So you're leading on the debate. Have you got a package from Westminster?
Well, you've got the PM, some of the backbenchers expressing their unhappiness, and we're basically saying the keynote speech was by the Deputy PM. Mm. Do you want to listen?
Oh, well, yeah, just quickly.
Madam Speaker, if you make cuts, you will get bleeding, because the National Health Service is the lifeblood of this party, and do not let anyone talk to me about bleeding hearts, because teeth are the heart of the Labour Party.
Okay, stop it there. So, what's happening on the murder story?
The police just aren't saying anything.
In which case, there's a story there somewhere.
Maria, the detective Jefferson has just clammed up. The only journalist he's ever been known for talking to was, well, you know.
Yes. Okay, well, stick at it.
Caroline, I'm showing the new chairman around. He's in your office.
Oh, right.
Between you and me... The man's a complete idiot.
Chairman.
Splendid. Caroline Harlan, Lord Crichton Potter.
Pleased to meet you, Chairman.
Delighted, my dear.
Caroline is one of the few women to have risen to the top, or nearly the top, of senior management.
Ah, plucky filly, eh?
How kind of you to say so, Chairman.
Take my word for it, Chairman. This is a woman who is going places.
Who?
Well, don't let us keep you.
No, Chairman. Going places? Do you listen to a lot of radio, Chairman?
Well, I expect you're a Radio 4 man, aren't you, Chairman?
Only for the cricket, dear boy. Wonderful stuff. Test match special. Is that one of your programmes?
Sadly not, Chairman, no.
Ah, pity. What about the racing results?
Oh, so you're more of a Five Live listener.
Well, I am, as a matter of fact. But they keep interrupting the sports coverage with a lot of fearful talk about news and politics.
Chairman, I wonder if you'd like to look around.
Of course. John, would you like to show the chairman the bulletin's desk?
Right away, Pucky. Well, I mean Caroline.
Delighted to have met you.
Imbecile.
Chairman, imbecile, remember?
Well, I think I can forget about being the next DG, Alan. It's obviously going to be Ian Botham.
Oh, I don't think I should worry. What you need, if I may say, is a period of quiet competence. No unnecessary brushes with the government.
Right. Well, quiet competence it is.
I leave you to it.
Hello?
Caroline?
George, there is such a thing as retirement counselling.
Caroline, I've got a scoop on the dentist killings. None of the press has got it. The police haven't got it. Get me on the air now.
George, did you say scoop? Look, if you'd like to give me the details over the phone...
No, I'm not giving you the details over the phone. I'm coming back from Devon now.
Devon?
Yes, Devon. The murder of Carmichael wasn't a one-off. There's a serial killer on the loose. Oh, and this is the other thing. I, that's George Cragg, your crime correspondent, have established a definite connection between these killings and the Labour government.
Oh, hell.
Jim, you've got to give me time. We've had 12 months to put things right. The Tories had 18 years to get everything wrong.
We're not elected to destroy the welfare state and the National Health Service.
Jim, we only won the election in the first place because we all sang the same song in the same key.
And a choir master was the chief spook, the woman who put the CIA in Marcia. You're listening to her when you ought to be listening to the party, Kenny. That's what's going wrong.
Look, Jim, we need you on board. What was it you said? Traditional values in a modern setting?
Aye, the values of caring and compassion.
But Jim, look, nowadays our compassion has a hard edge. Our tenderness is tough.
Tough, I'll tell you what's tough. When I was a lad in Derbyshire...
Oh, God.
Never mind, oh, God, you jumped up Jessicum lately. When I was a lad in Derbyshire, the kids were poor. They were so poor, they had no shoes, and walking to school was a feat with regard to this, and they couldn't afford ointment from Boots because it was a chemist and not a shoe shop. And you talk to me about compassion with a hard edge. Well, I'll tell you this. One of us is talking rubbish.
But, Jim, look. This is New Labour. Our task, our historic task, is to prepare our welfare state for the 21st century. To do those things a Tory government could never do because we have working people's trust.
Don't you talk to me about working people.
Sorry to disturb you, Kenny.
Prime Minister.
Sorry, I thought we were supposed to call you...
No, you thought wrong.
I'm sorry, only the World Tonight and Newsnight are both asking you for a reaction to the night's vote.
Oh, all right. You, take this down. Speaking from Downing Street, the Prime Minister said tonight's vote reflected a sustained period of media misrepresentation orchestrated by the BBC, with its persistent refusal to report the positive aspects of government policy. Don't worry, PM, you leave me to handle the BBC.
He said £500.
Now, that doesn't come cheap, Caroline. I mean, if I'm not employed here anymore, I can always sell this story to Sky News or CNN.
Yes, all right, George. Now, let me get this straight. The murder of Carmichael was one of a series.
And the victim in Plymouth was a rising star in New Labour. And the one in Basildon was leader of the Labour group on the council.
The thing is, George, I'm supposed to be having a period of quiet competence. No political controversies.
In all the years we've worked together, Caroline, you've never run away from a story because it was controversial. You're not going to start now, are you?
No. No, we've got to run it.
And I've got my job back. On a temporary basis, of course.
George, I didn't say that.
How much did you have on these murders before I came in tonight? How much? Right. That's settled then.
Look, you can run the story tonight. After that, we'll see.
That's a split.
You haven't put anybody in my old office, have you?
No, the inner sanctum over there is still a shrine to the memory of George Cragg.
Oh, yeah. I'll be in studio in 5 minutes.
What the hell's this? John?
Who is it?
Is this some sort of newsroom prank?
Well, we'd hardly play pranks on somebody's left, would we?
And who the hell's painted this all over the wall? Welcome back, George.
in the teeth of the evidence. If you didn't do it, who did?
Delighted to see you back at the BBC, Charles.
Thank you.
I never thought the commercial broadcasting sector would suit you for long. This is where you belong.
Well, I've missed the old place, Martin.
Commercial experience is sadly essential in these troubled times for those with ambition.
Ambition, yes. Of course, your time away means you're now below me in the BBC hierarchy. What is it? Chief Consultant by Media Policy and Corporate Development, Broadcasting, Production and Engineering?
For the time being, I am at least technically your junior, Martin, yes.
My subordinate, Charles.
Just as you say.
How is it the old song goes? You can't come back and be the first in line?
Quite so.
You're out of touch, my baby, my poor old-fashioned baby.
Thank you, Martin.
I said baby, 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 you're out of time.
As your command of popular culture does you credit.
I like to think so.
I take it, Martin, it was you who conceived the idea of simultaneously broadcasting the shipping forecast on television, complete with suggestive cartoons and scantily clad presenters, Mel B. Otsira and Mel C. Otsira.
Modesty forbids, Charles.
As public service broadcasting, of course, it was crass, vulgar and pervasively revolting. As a career move, it was brilliant.
Charles, I'm touched. On the subject of career moves, why are you back exactly?
There's only one job in British broadcasting that truly interests me, Martin.
The vacancy for Director General? Oh, my dear Charles, no, no, no.
Don't underestimate me, Martin.
But, Charles, we all know who the next DG will be. My dear old chap, the job's been earmarked for a woman. It's all PC in Labour governments nowadays.
I'm afraid you haven't a hope. The whisper has it Caroline Holland from News and Current Affairs. Damned effective operator, after all. Yes, but such a pity if anything happened to ruin her chances. Something, for example, like a serial killer whose activities plunged the BBC into a ruinous argument with the government. And, of course, precipitated the return of a one-man disaster area into the newsroom for which she is directly responsible. How awful, how frightful, how perfectly delightful.
Is that all for tonight, Doctor?
Yes, yes, I'll finish up here. An early start tomorrow. We've got rather a tricky root canal, first thing.
All right, then. Good night, then.
Night. Dentist surgery? I'm sorry, I'm fully booked unless it's an emergency. Ah, well, you see, I can't help you if you're on income support, I'm afraid. This is a private practice. Hold on a moment. I'm sorry, I'm afraid we're closed for the night. Wait a minute, don't I know you?
In the Chair was written by Mark Taverner and starred Michael Williams, Barry Foster, Hugh Laurie, Stephen Fry, John Bird, Richard Griffiths, Rebecca Front and Kenneth Cranham. And also featured Susie Brand, Peter Woodthorpe, Jeffrey Whitehead, Jonathan Keeble, Simon Greenall, Brian Parr and Henrietta Garden. The music was composed by Paul Mottram. In the Chair was produced by Paul Schlesinger.